Thank you. First, I would like to thank the organizer for the invitation to talk here and for the organization of this nice conference. I will begin, as usual, to define S, the finite extension of QP, OS, the ring of integers, and pi, I fix pi, a uniformizer of this ring. I will speak about representations of the group GL2 of F, and I need to define a compact open subgroup GL2 of OS, and also the center Z of G. That's for the notation. In all this talk, I fix K, a field of characteristic P, which will be the field of coefficient of all the representations I will consider, and all the representations will have a central character in this talk. I won't say it's also supposed. Okay. The subject of this talk is the notion of finite presentation of smooth representation of this group G on K vector space. I will begin to define what is a representation of finite presentation. Let pi be a smooth representation of G, so with a central character. We say that pi has a finite presentation if there exists sigma, a sub-representation of the restriction from of pi to the subgroup KZ of finite dimension over K, generating pi, and the most important, such that the kernel of the map induced by Frobenius reciprocity from the compact induction of sigma to pi, which is surjective because it's generating pi, is a KG module of finite type. Okay. It's a good notion because it doesn't depend of the choice of sigma. That was proved by Yongchuan Hu. The main question I will be interested in is which smooth representation of G have finite presentation. Okay. We already know some cases. We have this theorem. First, that the first case is known since Barthel and Niévné. That's the case of principal series. All sub-questions of principal series of G are of finite presentation. That's due to Barthel and Niévné in 1994. And a second case, which is null, and it was proved first by Breuil, is that if F is a field QP, then all irreducible supersingular representation of G have a finite presentation. So it's due to Breuil in 2003. Okay, and I should mention in a little different context the case where F is a field of characteristic P. So if F is something like KL of T, in this case all supersingular representations are not of finite presentation, and it's due to Jung-Chuan Wu in 2009. I say that no supersingular representation are finite presentation. Okay, and the theorem I would like to prove today is that if you take F a quadratic extension of QP and pi a super singular irreducible representation of G, then pi as no is not of finite presentation. So, in fact, it seems to be strange that in one case we have a finite presentation and for a finite extension we don't have finite presentation, but it's not so surprised, because the classification of all supersingular representations are very different in the case of QP and in the case of finite extension of QP. So that's why I would like to do some remarks. First, if F is equal to QP, in fact, what is proved by Breuil in this theorem is that if sigma is a Serre weight, and you consider the spherical Ecke algebra of sigma relative to KZ, because we always have central character, so it is isomorphic to a polynomial algebra in an Ecke operator with support in this double class KP1 KZ, then this compact induction mod the image of T sigma is irreducible. And as a consequence, all supersingular representations are of this form. So they have directly of finite presentations. But if F is different from QP, then this quotient is of infinite length. So you see that the situation is radically different. And all you know that the supersingular representation are some quotient of this very big representation. It is not admissible. Okay. And the second remark is a motivation to study this notion of finite representation, is that if F is QP, then Colmez has constructed
a functor from the category of
k representation of G of finite length towards the category of etal phi gamma module on this field KE. And the crucial ingredient is that all these representations are of finite presentation. In fact, Peter Schneider and Marie-France Vigneras have constructed a generalization of this functor, but without the notion, if you don't know that the representation of G are of finite presentation, it's very difficult to prove that the unit is of finite dimension. So that's the point. Okay. But this theorem don't say that it doesn't work, but it says that there is something different. Okay. So now, I will explain the proof of this theorem. So first, I consider this group, the group of unipotent upper triangular and compact matrices in G. And in fact, in all this talk, what will be very important is the Iwasawa algebra of this group, KU. So if pi is a smooth representation of G, you have an action of A on pi because it is a smooth representation. You have also this matrix, diagonal matrix P001. It preserves you by conjugation. And so you obtain an endomorphism psi of this rank. K-algebra endomorphism. And it also acts on pi. Semi-linearly. And so if you define the algebra of twisted polynomial in X twisted by phi, that is the algebra of usual polynomial with coefficient in A, but with a twisted multiplication rule, that is AI XI times BJ EJ is AI phi to the I of BJ X I plus J, then you see that pi is in fact an N A X phi module. Okay. And in pi, if you choose sigma, a sub KZ representation of finite dimension, with dimension of sigma finite, then you can define a sub AXI module. In fact, it was defined by first by Colmes in the case of of QP, and by Hu in the proof of its theorem, and by Schneider and Vigneras in more general situation. An object which appears everywhere. It is the sub AX phi module generated by sigma in pi. So, in pi. Okay. And the main interest for me of this I plus phi sigma is the following theorem of Jung-Chuan Hu, which say that if pi is irreducible and of finite presentation, then the U invariant of this module are a K vector space of finite dimension. So the dimension over K of this space is finite. So you see, if you X is just a variable. I didn't say that. The action of X on pi is given by alpha. Okay. It's just notation for the abstract algebra. And you see that this condition is equivalent to say that the Pontryagin dual of I plus pi sigma, so the homomorphism, the K homomorphism of this module in K, it is a module, is of finite type over A. That's an application of compact Nakayama lemma, pseudo-compact Nakayama lemma. And we see why it is important in Colmes construction that, in fact, the construction of the F is QP. The construction of the phi gamma module is given by you take this Pontryagin dual and the tensor product over A with this field KI. The converse? Okay. So, and you see that if it is a finite type, you have a finite dimensional field. This ring of twisted polynomial can seems ugly because it is not Noetherian, but it is a remark theorem of Emerson that in fact he has a very good property. It is coherent, a left coherent ring. The ring A X phi is a left coherent ring. And in fact, this proposition was used by Emerton to give a conceptual proof of the theorem of Borg of on finite representation in the case of F is QP. And in fact, Emerton proved a more precise thing that I will have to use later, so I stated that if M is an AX psi module of finite type, not of finite presentation, it is of finite presentation over AX psi. If and only if you consider the kernel of the linearization of the action of X, that is the A morphism of A module from the base change from M to A, you see that the action of X is phi semilinear on A, so you have obtained a linear map, A linear map like this. This module is of finite type over A.
And if you have, in fact, the hard part of this proposition is this one. If you have this assertion, you can easily deduce that this ring is left coherent. And nice consequence of this proposition is the following. Consider M the maximal ideal of A, so that the quotient is the field K. Then if you consider the quotient of this ring A is psi by the left ideal generated by M, you have a well-known ring of usual polynomial in K, so that if you consider the torsion module of M with K, it is isomorphic to the torsion module over AX phi of KX with M, and this says that you have an action of the usual ring of usual the ring of usual polynomial KX on this module. And you see, these modules are very important to understand some properties like I plus pi sigma u is a finite dimension because the maximal torr will be exactly the module of invariant under u. And a consequence of this proposition is that if M is of finite presentation over AXI, then all the torsion module tor I A of K with M are of finite type over KX. And if you know this result, you can define some very important invariant of this module M. M is an AX phi module, which are the free rank of this module over KX. That is the rank over the field of friction KX of KX times this torsion module. M is an AX phi module of finite presentation. And at the same time, you can define the Euler characteristic of such a module, which is the alternate sum of this free rank. And you see, because this extension is flat, the Euler characteristic is an additive function. Oh, yes. Sorry. So this function is additive on exact sequence of AX phi module of finite presentation. So before to pass to the proof of this theorem, I would mention one example of AX phi module of finite presentation. Very simple example. You take A, an ideal in A, and you consider this module. You take the tensor product of this ring AX phi with A by A, I over A. So it is a, if you view it as an A module, it is huge, because as A module, it is isomorphic to the direct sum of all the quotient of A by the images of I by all the power of phi. And you see that when n grows, this ideals collapse towards zero. So, and the map is very easy. You take a polynomial tensor on object here, and you send it on the family of A n phi n of B. Okay, so this module is huge, but you can very easily control this three ranks because you have this isomorphism per I A of K with M is isomorphic to the tensor product of Kx with the tor of K with A over I. And I didn't say it, but it is a finite presentation because A is Noetherian and this ideal is finitely generalized. So you see, for example, if you take I open and regular, I mean generated by a regular sequence, you see that this hi of m are the binomial coefficient. You take dimension of A with I and you deduce that the Euler characteristic is zero. Okay. So that's just an example I will use later. So now I will give an idea of the proof of the main theorem. So let phi be a smooth, irreducible, and super singular representation of G over K. And fix sigma inside pi a ferrite, so an irreducible KZ representation. It will generate pi because pi is irreducible. And you can define this universal quotient, the quotient of the compact induction of sigma by the image of T sigma. And because pi is supersingular, and by Frobenius reciprocity, you have a surjective map, G equivariant, from this quotient to pi. Okay, so now I will define as before the AX phi module I plus of pi, which is the I plus pi of sigma. So now I forget the sigma because who has proved that this module is independent of the choice of sigma if pi is irreducible. And I define too the I plus pi sigma of sigma, and now I forgot the pi because this is obviously independent of pi. And you see that you want to understand this module, and you have a quotient of this Ix phi module toward I plus pi, which is a surjective map, and you define the quotient care pi sigma. I don't know if it's a good notation, but it's okay. So, and you have an exact sequence of AX phi modules. Okay. No. the first step of the proof is first to understand the structure of AXY module on L sigma. So L sigma is an AXY module of finite presentation. Okay, there is different notion of finite presentation in this talk. So you have the representation and the module. Now it's finite presentation on this AXY module. Okay, and moreover, you have its Euler characteristic is zero, and the free rank of the Tor knot is 0.2. Okay, and you can. I forgot to say something about this Tor module. So. I forgotten to say something, so I will say it now. If M is an A module, in fact, this Tor dimension of A, I of K with M, is exactly the sub-K vector space of U invariant. Because A is a regular ring, so it is you have an isomorphism of functor because between this functor of this variable M and the functor of U invariant. A. Thank you. So you have the invariant and the Tor knot is simply the co-invariant. Okay, so that. So you see. Okay, so the co-invariant are torsion over kx, and the h dimension of A of L sigma is non-zero. That is, you have a free submodule in this Tor for L sigma. Okay. And now I should say that we can assume already that S is a quadratic extension of QP, so that the dimension of A is 2. In fact, it's not used in this step, but I will say in which point I used this assertion. So, exactly in only one point, in fact. Okay, so the idea to prove that, I will only give it's a computation, in fact, but I will give the idea in the case of the trivial representation, when sigma is a trivial fair weight. In fact, you can consider this exact sequence, which define P of sigma, P of 1, yeah. And here you have T. And using this exact sequence, you obtain an exact sequence of module over A axis. I not sigma B, if not, I will forget. So, an exact sequence of AXY modules. Here you have AXY tensor A over with A modulated by M. And here you have AXY tensor with A modulated by phi of M. And it is an exact sequence of NXY module. And here the map induced by T is very explicit. You send a polynomial P times 1 onto, okay, I forgot the definition. This Iwasawa algebra is an algebra of power series in two variables, and this map sends p times 1 plus x naught to the p minus 1, x1 to the p minus 1, times x2, tensor 1. Okay, it's a times. And with this explicit map, you can compute all the Tor modules. So you see, for example, that these two facts are obvious with this description. And in the case of the trivial weight, you can even show that this H2 is 2, and it is 1 in some non-generic cases on the weight. But it is always non-zero. Okay, so that was for the step 1. And now you can I will pass to step 2. Now I will suppose that pi is of finite presentation, and we will have a contradiction at the end. So if pi is of finite presentation, by the result of U, you know that this I plus pi U has finite dimension over K. And what I claim is that this implies that I plus of pi is an AXI module of finite presentation. Okay, so to see that, we'll follow a strategy of Emerton in the case of where F is QP. So it is the following. In fact, you want to show that this map phi I plus pi from A tensor I plus pi toward I plus pi as a kernel finitely generated over A. To see this point, you write this long exact sequence. Here you have the dual of the co-kernel of this phi. Here you have the dual of I plus pi, and here the dual of I plus pi tensor A over A phi, and here the dual of the kernel of phi. In fact, we use the exactness of the Pontryagin duality. And you can see that these two modules, because we suppose that this space is finite dimensional, are a module of finite type and have the same free rank. That's easy to see. You tensor with the field of fraction of A, and you see that they have the same free rank. So now, how to deduce that this module is the dual of this module is torsion? You say that I plus pi is of finite type over AX phi. You easily see that this implies that Cocker phi is of finite type over A. And now, you know that the action of U on this module is smooth. So, in fact, it will be a module of finite length. Finite length over A, because it is of finite type and all the elements are killed by the power of the maximal ideal. And this implies, by Pontryagin duality, that the dual of this module is torsion over A. And now I will explain why. Okay, so here you have a map between A module of finite type which have the same rank. The kernel is torsion, so the co-kernel is torsion. But because A is a regular ring of dimension 2, it doesn't apply that the Pontryagin dual is torsion. In fact, the Pontryagin dual could be of infinite rank over A. But what I claim is that this implies that what I say that this module has the same free rank over A, so this implies that the dual of ker phi is torsion over A as a module. Okay, that's a good idea. Yes, yes, that's the point. So this module is torsion, and I claim that this implies, so I will continue here because if not I have to cover this. Okay, so now I am to care of phi is torsion, and I claim that it implies that it is of finite length. As a module. So I will explain why. But now, when you dualize, you take the Pontryagin duality, you obtain an A module. You know that this ker phi is of finite length over A. And this implies that it is of finite type over A. And so that by the criterion of Emerton, that this AX phi module is of finite presentation. I explain the implication star. For this, in fact, we use the action of the forgotten group gamma, which is the group of compact group of diagonal matrices. In fact, this group is acting on I plus pi. So it commutes to the action of phi. It acts on A by conjugation. And so you can see that this module, care of phi dual, is an A module of finite type with a compatible action of gamma. You see, you have an action of this module and it is compatible to the action of gamma on A. And it will imply that a torsion module, a module of torsion on finite type over A, is of finite length. Because of the following proposition that I prove with Yongchuan Hu, Stefano Mora, and which is a consequence of more general work of Ardakov, that if I is an ideal of A stable under gamma, then I is either 0 or I is open. By open, I mean it contains the power of the maximal ideal of A. So you see that this module Kerr-Phi dual is a finite type torsion, so its annulator is a non-trivial ideal of A. It is stable under gamma by this fact, so it is it contains the power of the maximal ideal. So this module is torsion. Okay. So that proves that I plus phi is of finite presentation over AX phi. And because AX phi is coherent, using the exact sequence I write, that implies that this Kerr phi sigma is of finite presentation over AX phi. And in particular of finite type, that was not obvious. So I recall what is this Kerr phi sigma. Kerr phi sigma is the kernel of the map of L sigma toward I plus phi. So it is a finite type over AX phi. So now the last step, and before to continue, I would like to say now that you know some invariant of this module. Now, okay, so step 3. Now I claim that chi of for h I, the dimension over k of this tor group, the tor of k with I plus phi, is finite. In fact, it's a very elementary consequence of the fact that the U invariant are finite, because you have a duality theorem on Tor, and you see that it is the dual of the Tor 2 minus I of K with the Pontryagin dual of I plus pi. And this is of finite type over A. No, in fact it's true with so far no. In fact, what I say is that this module are finite dimensional vector space over K, because this is a finite type over A. And the consequence is that all the HI I plus pi are zero, and so you conclude that the Euler characteristic of Kerr phi sigma is zero, and moreover that H naught of this kernel is also zero, writing the long exact sequence, because the H naught of this is zero and the H1 of this is zero. And the only point now where I use that the dimension is 2 is that I can conclude from this equality that the H1 of this kernel is equal to its H2. You see, if not, you have not enough control to say something about this H1. And now the last step 4, we will construct strictly increasing sequence um, of sub AX phi module. Of finite type in this kernel. And strictly increasing and exhaustive. That's the point. And you see that if you can do that, you have a contradiction. So, how to do that? Now, you consider, you know that this care by sigma u no. First, suppose we will see after that if it's true that this kernel, the u invariant of the kernel, are free e free over kx. That is, it has no torsion. We know that it is non-zero, and it is its free part is non-zero. It was a calculation. It's a consequence. Oh, I didn't say it, but it's a consequence of this this equality that the free part of this module is non-zero because the free part of the tor 2 here is non-zero. Okay, and if you know that. You can say that this care pi sigma u is isomorphic to a direct sum of kx times v1. V1 is a finite dimension k vector space lying in this module. And so, you can construct a very natural map of this module toward care pi sigma. And what I claim is that this map is injective. Because if you take the u invariant on this side, you see that it will contain this v1. And it will be a free module on this, with a basis in v1, by the first example I compute. And you have the same here. And you have an isomorphism at the level of u invariant. But now the kernel is a smooth representation of u, and it has no invariant, so it is zero. Because u is a proper group, and we are in characteristic p. So you have this injection, and now you can ask if it is a surjection, and it is not surjective, because if you write the long exact sequence, you can begin to the u invariant of the quotient, so I will name M1 this module. Okay, the first part of the long exact sequence is this isomorphism, so it is zero. Here you arrive in the tor 1 of K M1, and here in the tor 1 A of K care pi sigma. But now this equality on the top of the blackboard tells you that this has free rank, the dimension of v1, because you see that v1 is the rank of this part. And by the general computation on the invariant of the tor of this module, you see that this is free of rank 2 dimension of v1. And it is free. So you see that this module has to be free and non-zero. So okay. Good. And now you can check that the Euler characteristic of this quotient is 0, its h0 is 0 too, and its h2 is vector 2 is free, non-zero. So you can continue. You can continue and construct some M2 over M1 in care of pi sigma mod by M1. And you obtain in this way a strictly increasing sequence of AXI module of finite type, such that the map of care pi sigma mod out by mi, the U invariant of this map, towards the same quotient by mi plus 1 at the level of U invariant is 0. And so you see that if you consider the quotient of the union of this mi, the U invariant are 0, and so this module is 0. And you have your exhaustive increasing sequence of AXI module of finite. And it is strictly increasing because at each time you have something of non-zero free one. And so the only thing I didn't say it's this hypothesis. Now, if two stars true, in fact, I don't know, it isn't, but we can use a. I think it isn't. Why? Because if you consider the U invariant and the torsion part, the torsion as a KX module, it is contained in the torsion of this U invariant, which is isomorphic to Kx by explicit computation modeled by x square. And in fact, this torsion is the image is the image of the U invariant in the compact induction of sigma, whose support is at the vertex fixed by K or by the next vertices, that is in the tree. You have the vertex here, which is fixed by K, and this R1 sigma is the function which supports in this vertices. And in fact, the way it's easy to see that the U invariant of sigma injects in the U invariant of pi, because sigma injects in pi. So, in fact, this torsion subgroup has no intersection with the U invariant of this part. And the way to, what I don't know for this part, and the way to kill it, is to replace the matrix alpha by alpha 2, the endomorphism phi by phi 2, and the module I plus pi by I plus 2 pi, which is in fact the submodule generated not by the power of alpha but the even power of alpha and sigma. In fact, you take only the even vertices. And if you do that, you have also an L2 sigma U, and you see that here the torsion is one-dimensional unsupported in sigma, so it has zero intersection with this kernel and this torsion free. In fact, I no, in fact, that just I sorry. In fact,
I explain it with this I plus pi because it's more natural. And at the end, you see that. The contradiction. In fact, I constructed a strictly increasing module of sequence of AXI module of finite type, which exhausts a module of finite type. So that's a contradiction. Okay. Yes, I didn't say that it gives a contradiction. Okay, and at the end, I say that to have this hypothesis, you have to change a little bit.